Would you turn with me, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. We'll read together from Matthew, chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. May the Lord add his divine blessing to this reading from his holy word this evening. May the Lord bless all of our hearts through it. We'll bow in a brief word of prayer, please. Father, we come to thee once again in the Saviour's name. We thank thee that already in the meeting there has been the appeal made and the warning sounded that sinners need to be covered in the blood of Christ. And we pray that those who are not covered in the blood, for whom the atonement has no saving effect, may they be saved tonight. Lord, we look to thee. We know that vain is the help of man. But when God the Holy Spirit moves on hearts, people are changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God can change them. So come tonight, we pray. Have thine own way and glorify thy Son. May the gospel be sounded clearly and the warning go forth. We pray in the Lord's great name. Amen. Amen. If you look at verse 10 and then down at the very end, the last four words, the door was shut. These words form the basis of our study and our message in the gospel tonight. The door was shut. Now, a shut door can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending upon your circumstances. A good thing if you're trying to keep the heat in and the cold out. And you know what it's like whenever you've got wee ones running around the house. The old cry, shut that door, keep the heat in, seems to go out quite frequently. Because a shut door is a good thing in those circumstances. A shut door is a good thing if you're trying to keep the wee ones from the stairs or keep them from running out onto the road. A shut door is a good thing if you want to feel secure in your own home. Can I just read to you, and I'll ask you to turn to this portion, but John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. This was after the crucifixion. The disciples of Christ were meeting, but they were afraid that they might suffer the same fate that the Saviour had suffered. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid that they might be killed. So they met secretly. And they shut the doors. They went in, they closed the door, and they had their meeting. But it was private. And the door was shut. They were going through difficult times. They were worried. Understandably so. Those were hard times for the disciples of Christ. So there's a shut door for secrecy. In the book of Nehemiah, we read about Nehemiah having to shut the gates of the city to prevent the traders from buying and selling on the Sabbath day. And the gates were shut to make sure that did not happen. It would be good in our land, it really would be good, if we could get back to the days whenever the doors of the shops and the garden centres and the supermarkets and the pubs and the hotels and the restaurants were closed on the Lord's Day. In that case, a shut door would be a good thing. But it is very sad that they're all swung wide open at this time. So there are times when a shut door is a good thing. There are times when a shut door is a bad thing. I don't know what it's like where you are, but the bank that I go to in Tandragee, it closes at lunchtime. I can never understand that. It seems the only time I can get there is lunchtime, but that's when it's closed. It closes from 12:30 to 1:30. And the number of times I have been there in the main street at 12:29 and it's shut. And I check my watch and it's definitely 12:29. But the girls have locked the door and they're away for their lunch. I'm standing there saying, this is ridiculous. The bank's closed again at the wrong time. A shut door, that can be a real nuisance. It can be a bad thing. I don't know about you men, but whenever I'm out at night, and I'm out every night, I get these wee text messages. Call in and get a couple of litres of milk on the way home. Somebody's laughing because they know that it happens in their house too. But you know, I always do it. Well, at least I try. But you know what always happens? The shop's shut whenever I remember. And then I have to go home and make up excuses and blame the shopkeeper for closing too early. Closed doors can be a problem. There can be a good thing, there can be a bad thing. I think of Jeremiah. There was a time a shut door was a bad thing for God's servant. It says in the Bible, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. He was put in jail for preaching the truth. The king didn't like it. And the king thought, the best thing I can do to get rid of this Jeremiah and these sermons he's preaching is put him in prison. Close him up. But you know what it says in Jeremiah 36 and 5? And Jeremiah commanded Barak, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. He was imprisoned for preaching God's word. But you know what Jeremiah's lament was? I can't get out to the house of the Lord with the saints of God. That was the thing that annoyed him. And you know, folks, we should never neglect the house of the Lord, for the time could come when we wouldn't be able to get out to it. Psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So while we have opportunity, always avail ourselves of the opportunity to come to the house of the Lord and hear the word and sing God's praise and worship with the saints. The day could come you'd be sitting at home and not fit to get out anymore. So, a shut door can be a good thing and a shut door can be a bad thing. I want to emphasize one instance here in the Bible whenever a shut door was a bad thing. Now, not bad in the sense that it should not have been shut. I'm not saying that at all. But bad in the sense it was shut to certain people because of their own actions, and then they had to live with the consequences. And in that sense, it was bad. It was bad for them. It was bad for them. Three things I want to say to you about the shut door in Matthew 25 and verse 10. First of all, I want to bring out the thought that this shut door involved careless people. Careless people. You see, there were five virgins in this crowd, and they were extremely careless. Why? Well, look at verses 2 and 3 with me. And five of them were wise, that's fine. And five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. There were five who were very careless. But then go to verse 8, and we'll read to verse 10. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to sell to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Five of them didn't have enough oil in their lamps. It didn't seem to annoy them or worry them until they needed the oil. And this meant that they had to go out and buy what they needed. It's a bit, you know, like if you're driving around in a car and it's very, very low on fuel and that wee light's flashing away in the dash and you just think to yourself, you drive on. Well, that's all right if you can drive on, get a few more miles out of it. But the minute it chugs and stops, isn't that when you could kick yourself and say, that's silly of me. That was careless. I knew it was getting low, but I ignored the warning signs until it was too late. These people ignored the warning signs until it was too late. They had to go out to buy more oil. By the time they did this and returned to the venue, the bridegroom had already arrived, the guests had gone in, the door had been shut, and the five careless or foolish virgins were closed out. And friends, if they had done the right thing at the right time, that would not have happened. And that's the warning. If they'd done the right thing at the right time, they wouldn't have been shut out. And how often in life can that point be made about you and me? If we'd done the right thing at the right time, we might not have been in the situation that we're in now. Many a time we'll have to look back and say, why didn't I think? Why didn't I think that through? I was careless. I was foolish. If I had thought that through, I wouldn't have done it. But I didn't think it through at the time. Why didn't I consider the consequences? Oh, it seemed the right thing to do. And I never stopped to think where it was going to lead me. Oh, if I had it to do again, I would have thought about the consequences. Why didn't I think? Why didn't I realize that was going to get me into trouble? You know, many times in life we can look back and say those things. I was reading about the incident in the American Revolution. It illustrates the tragedy of not thinking and not acting at the right time and doing the right thing when you should have done it. It's a true story. It's reported that Colonel Rall, he was the commander of the British troops in Trenton in New Jersey. He was playing cards whenever a courier brought him an urgent message. The urgent message was this: General George Washington is crossing the Delaware River. Rall was more interested in finishing the game of cards. He put the message in his pocket. He hadn't even the sense or the courtesy to read the message the courier had brought him. He finished his game of cards. Then, when he had finished his gambling, he took the letter out and he read it. And panic set in. He tried his best to rally his men to meet the coming attack, but it was too late to get things sorted out, and his procrastination was his undoing. Friends, that man was killed in that attack. Many of his soldiers were killed. They lost that battle, and what wasn't killed in the regiment was captured by George Washington. One writer said of that incident, only a few minutes' delay cost him his life, his honour, and the liberty of his soldiers. A few minutes delay. Didn't do what he should have done when he should have done it. And you know what? Earth's history is strewn with the wrecks of people with half-finished plans and unexecuted resolutions. Tomorrow is the excuse of the lazy. And it's the refuge of the incompetent. And many people put things off and don't do things that they should do. I read a wee line. It just says this: procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. And friends, there are many careless people just like that. They put off to a later date what they should be doing now. And the five virgins in this story put off to a later date what they should have done earlier. And they went to get oil for their lamps at the last minute. At the last minute. And they shouldn't have done it. Are there things that you should be doing right now you're putting off? Well then, you're being very careless, if not foolish. Probably foolish is a better description, because that's God's description. That's God's description. And maybe that's what you're doing with regard to spiritual matters. You're putting off things that you should be doing now. You're putting them off. There's a very solemn warning found in these words. Those who say that they will be saved in the 11th hour die at 10:30. Now, I know that doesn't apply to everyone, I know. But there's a warning in it, isn't there? Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, 11th hour conversion, dying thief, that's for me. That's the type of thing I'm after. So I've just put off getting saved until that last minute. Those who say they'll be saved in the 11th hour die at 10:30. There's a warning for you. Do you realize that while you're putting off getting right with the Lord, the door might be closing? And I want you to think about that. You see, while these five foolish and careless virgins were away getting oil for their lamps, do you know what was happening? The door was closing. While they were away doing what should have been done far sooner, the door was closing on them. And maybe while you're neglecting your soul's salvation, the door of opportunity is closing for you, and you don't even know it. You can't see it. You're not aware of it. But the God who knows all things knows this door is closing for this person. They'd better get in through it soon. It'll soon be shut. Do not neglect the most important thing in the world: getting right with God. Don't neglect it. Whatever else you do, do not neglect this. How foolish, how careless. You know, we've all been out on the roads. I find the roads getting busier and busier. I'm not saying I'm the best driver in the world. I'm certainly not. I wouldn't claim to be. But you know, some of the driving that I see is crazy. How careless people are, how foolish they are. Pulling out without looking and doing all sorts of things at roundabouts cracks me up. They just do silly things. And I say, how careless, how foolish. Someone was nearly written off there. It happens before our eyes from time to time. Thankfully not too often. But it does happen. And we say, that's one careless driver. You know, friends, can I say to you lovingly, if you're not saved, you're one careless person. And I do not mean to insult you, but I mean to warn you. You are one careless person. Because you do not know when the door will shut, and you'll never have another opportunity to get saved. You should be doing something about it now. Can I move on in the second place to mention to you the door that is closed permanently? And people who are closed out permanently. Oh yes, there were careless people here. And then they were closed out permanently, because verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. This door was shut. It was shut permanently, and it was not going to be opened for these people. Those who were on the outside would be staying on the outside. Those who were on the inside would be staying on the inside. It's an obvious reminder of the story of the ark. Genesis 7:16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. An obvious reminder of that occasion. The day when the Lord shut the door of the ark was the day when opportunities for the people were gone forever. And they were closed outside. Oh, there's plenty of time leading up to this. Plenty of opportunities. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They heard the sermons. They heard the warnings. The truth went forth, just like you hear it in gospel missions like this. Sunday night services in your church. You hear it just as they heard it in Noah's day. But not only did they hear the word in Noah's day, they saw the evidence that this man had the truth on his side. He was building this boat in the middle of nowhere. He was telling them what it was for and what God was going to do. There were those who laughed and mocked. Maybe there were those who were more thoughtful and pondered those things. But they didn't come to the Lord. They heard the word. They saw the work the man was doing. They had plenty of warning that judgment was coming. I think the people in Ireland have plenty of warnings that judgment is coming. They've heard the word. They've seen the evidence. But in Noah's day, they chose to reject and neglect the warnings. They did not take the opportunity to get saved, and now they're not going to get another one. Isn't that sad? They didn't take the opportunity, so there'll be no more, because the door was shut. I wonder if that's what it's going to be like for somebody in the mission in Dromore. They'll get the opportunities. They'll hear the word. But tragically end up closed out permanently because the door is shut. There's a wee verse in Luke 13. It tells us when once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's talking about people being closed out permanently. He's saying it as well. And he's saying the door has been shut to these people. They're knocking and they're trying to get in, but it's too late. It's too late. If you're unsaved and you're refusing to come to Christ, there'll come a day when you'll be knocking and banging, but it'll be too late. And the Lord will say, but you had your chance, you wouldn't take it. And the door's now shut. We read on in that same chapter in Luke 13. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. What happens to careless people who refuse to come to Christ? They end up closed out permanently. And the Saviour says, you know what? To add to the tragedy, you're going to know about those who are with the Lord. And you're going to have a conscious remembrance of these things. And it's going to cause great weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you realise you've been thrust out, wouldn't it be tragic if somebody listened to the gospel in this mission and ended up thrust out and the door shut, never to get in? You see, this mission has been called that a soul might get saved. I trust it'll be you. Careless people, closed out permanently. But then just note in conclusion the careful preparation here, because that's important and that's what we want people to really think about. Verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They that went in, they were the ones who were ready. You see, only those who are ready can be with the bridegroom. That's the way it is in the Bible. Only those who are prepared will be received. And careful preparation is the key. You need to be prepared. Have you thought ahead? Have you thought about your death and where that'll take you? Have you thought about the untimely nature of death? We mentioned that a night before, so we'll not go over that again. But you need to think about these things. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. If you're not saved, you're on the road that leads to hell. It's the broad road that leads to destruction. That's how the Bible describes it. And you need to get off that road. And you need to get onto the narrow road that leads to heaven and home. You need to make preparation. You've got to change direction. You've got to trust Christ. He's the only one who can save you. Only His blood can cleanse you. And it's only by you coming as a sinner to Christ that you can be prepared for heaven and home. That's the only way. There is no other way. And if you don't do this, the door of heaven will be shut to you and the door of hell will be open to you. Isn't that a solemn thought? Imagine sitting in gospel missions and hearing that God's Son can save you and ending up with the door of heaven slammed tight closed. Because you can't get in. You're not cleansed and forgiven. And you're not prepared. And the door of hell to spring open. What a tragic end. But what a glorious end if it works the other way. If you'd get saved. If you'd be wise tonight and trust the Savior. My, if that was to happen, then the door of hell would be slammed tight closed to you and you'd never be in it. And the door of heaven would be swung wide open. I'm glad that many of us here tonight can say we're saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins have been atoned for because Christ has died for us. And we know when we die, because of Him and His grace alone, the door of heaven will open. It's not closed to us. My, in a sense, the door of hell has been welded shut tight and it'll never open for the Christian. The door of heaven is wide open. It's waiting for us to enter. Isn't that wonderful? It gives you comfort in life when things are difficult and hard. You know at the end of the journey, there's a wonderful reward will be with Christ forevermore. But if you're not saved, you don't have this hope. This confidence. There's a wee hymn in our book. It just says, swing the heart's door open, bid him enter while you may. This is an opportunity for you to say to Christ, forgive me my sin, come into my life. This is an opportunity for you to avail yourself of God's great salvation and for the door of heaven to be opened for you, never to be closed. And when God opens the door, no man can shut it. When the Lord saves, you'll be saved forever. That can start tonight. May the door of heaven never be shut to you. May the door of hell be shut to you. Through the Son of God, you can have this assurance. May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts tonight, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.